Bibles and open them, if you would, to 1 John 5, verse 13 is where we'll begin. But tonight I want us to continue in a series of messages on prayer that we began 3 weeks ago. And I've entitled this series, Promises of Power Through Prayer. And what we're doing is looking at the many passages in the Bible where God assures us that he will answer prayer. And so the first couple of weeks, we looked at a couple of texts in Matthew where Jesus teaches his disciples about the kind of faith that can move mountains. And tonight I want us to consider a very familiar passage in John's first epistle. But before we do, you know, before we actually read it there, let me make this observation. I don't know, as you've read through the book of 1 John, I don't know if you've ever observed how many times the word know appears there, K-N-O-W, know. By my count, it's 26 times, divided about half and half between we know and ye know, or you know, plus there's one I know, so that makes a total of 27. But, you know, we live in a day when there are a lot of people who say, you know, there are no absolutes. You can't know anything for sure. Or they'll say, well, that may be true for you, but you can't necessarily say that that's true for everyone. You know, and then when it comes to the Word of God, you know, some people say, well, the Scripture is kind of mystical. And they suggest that, you know, what it means is kind of subjective and dependent upon your own spiritual perspective. But the Bible stands in stark contrast to that kind of relativistic thinking. And the Bible proclaims and declares the truth, the objective, authoritative, universal truth from the mouth of God. And so in the Bible, God oftentimes says, you can know. You can know for sure. You can be certain. And of any book in the Bible, I think 1 John is absolutely about being sure, about being certain about certain things. And that's why we find the expressions we know and ye know appearing so often. And really, the climax of it is right at the end here where we're going to be reading. In fact, starting right above verse 13 in the Pew Bibles, the editors have put this heading right above verse 13. It says, the certainties of faith. And that's a good description for these verses that we're going to read. So I want us to read those certainties tonight. And we're going to focus on just one of them, but I want to read them all. And as we do, I want you to look or listen for the word know, maybe even count them as we go along here. 1 John 5:13, John says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So as we went through there, how many times did you see we know or you know? Did we count? Seven times? Seven times in eight verses? And in those eight verses, and really it's just kind of a summation of the rest of the book, John identifies five certainties for us by using those expressions, ye know and we know. Okay, we're not going to look at all of them tonight, but let me just run through them quickly, okay? In verse 13, he says, we know that we have eternal life. In verses 14 and 15, he says, we know God answers our prayers. In verse 18, we see that we know we have victory over sin. In verse 19, we know we belong to God. In verse 20, we know that Jesus Christ is the true God. So here are things that John says, that God says through John, that we can absolutely know for certain. At some point, if God directs me to have us study through the book of 1 John, then we'll go into those in great detail. But for tonight, I just want us to consider the second one. We know God answers our prayers. verses 14 and 15, really continues on into verses 16 and 17. Maybe we'll tackle that next week. But really, this idea of we know God answers our prayers. So let's begin tonight with prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that as we come to you, as we cast our cares upon you, as we share our petitions with you, we know that you answer. We know that you hear. And you promise, Father, that you will do that which is in keeping with your will, that which is asked in your name. Father, I pray that as we grapple with such broad and expansive promises, that we would not allow our lack of faith, that we would not allow our sense of experience to minimize the certainty of those promises. Father, would you encourage us? Would you solidify in our soul that just as we know we have eternal life, we know that you answer our prayers. I just pray, Father, that you would guide in this time that we spend together in your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So let's take a look here again, verses 14 and 15. He says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now, we have a business meeting tonight at the end of this service. So I just want to make a few observations, and then we'll spend some time praying. But here's the general principle that John teaches us here, is if we ask anything of God according to God's will, he hears us and he answers our requests. Okay, sometimes we think, well, of course God hears, but the implication is that no, God hears and God does what we ask of him. That's what he is saying. That is what he is promising us. And these verses really involve both a promise and a qualification. And we'll talk mostly about the promise for tonight. But here's the idea. When we pray, God hears us, and we have the request that we ask of him. And it's worded. It's expressed to us as a promise. And we find that same kind of promise, that same kind of assurance throughout the Scripture. And God says we can know this for sure. When we pray, God hears and answers. Okay, so here's some observations just from this text. It starts out, verse 14 begins with the word and. Okay, we know that's a conjunction, a connecting word. And really what that does is it connects verse 14 back to verse 13. Now, we here who are Bible-believing people, we cherish 1 John 5:13. You know, my guess is that almost all of us here, maybe all of us here, could quote 1 John 5:13. You know, we use it when we witness to people. We use it to just bring comfort and encouragement to our own souls. John says, you know, I wrote to you that you may know that you have eternal life. And we look at people and we talk with people and say, well, I hope so. Well, maybe. I don't know. I'm trying hard. And we say, no. God says you can know that you have eternal life. And we don't doubt that promise for a second. I mean, you know, we take God at his word. How do we know? Because God says so. He says, these things are written unto you that you may know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that you may be utterly certain that you have eternal life. And we understand all that contributes to making that promise so true. Okay? But we believe it. Then in verse 14 he says, and here's something else, you who know you have eternal life, here's something that you know as well, that God answers your prayers. And you know what, folks, that promise ought to be as certain to us as verse 13. Just as much as we don't doubt, as we don't question, as we don't quibble with God saying, these things are written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life, just as sure God says we can know that he answers our prayers. If we ask anything in keeping with his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. And that promise is just as sure. And it's a promise made to believers. It's made to those who know that they have eternal life. If you know you have eternal life, then you can also know that God will answer your prayer. So the first simple observation I would make for us tonight is this is a promise made to believers, to all believers. Anyone who knows they have eternal life can know that God will answer their prayers. Second observation is, therefore, in light of that, we should come to God boldly in prayer. He says, this is the confidence that we have in him.
And the word there that's translated confidence is the idea of freedom in speaking. Just being open, being unreserved, being bold. We see that same word used in Hebrews 4. I'm going to read here three verses, verses 14 through 16. Writer of Hebrews says, "Seeing then we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Okay, and in light of the fact that we have Jesus as our high priest, as the one who has made the way open for us to come to God, verse 16, he says, "Let us therefore come boldly." Same word. Let us come with confidence. Let us come freely. Let us come without reservation. Let us come not holding anything back. Let's just come boldly, freely under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In Ephesians 3:12, Paul says, "In whom we have boldness," in Christ, we have boldness, the same word. We have that freedom. And we have access with confidence. The idea of the word there, confidence, is completely trusting by the faith of him. So the scripture teaches us in many places, but here in our text that, you know what? I know I'm a child of God. I can know that for sure. And therefore, I can know that God will hear and answer my prayers, and therefore, I ought to come freely, gladly, willingly, boldly into God's presence that I may put my petitions before him and believe that he's going to answer. Third observation I would make is we must view prayer as coming into God's presence, coming to the one who has promised to answer. He says this is the confidence that we have in him. Some people translate that expression that we have before him, or we have toward him, or we have as we come before him. You know, and that's, I suppose, putting a lot of gravity in how you translate a preposition, but the idea there, the idea in Hebrews 4, is that we do come very much into the presence of God. You know, it's not just mumbling some words off of a prayer list. It's not just going through certain motions. It's not just repeating certain expressions. It's not just dutifully reciting certain things. You know, I don't mean reciting as in the memorized idea, but just in the sense of kind of saying what we know we ought to say, the way that we ought to say it. Prayer is coming before the living God and humbling ourselves in his presence and pouring out our hearts to him. And you know, the gravity of these promises will be lessened if we don't appreciate that we really are talking to God. And we know these things objectively. And yet I think sometimes, you know, we really don't let that settle in. You know, we don't realize that God personally responds to each and every one of us. That God is there ready to hear us anytime, anywhere, we just come to him, and there he is. You know, and we kind of maybe don't take into account the personal nature of that fellowship that we have with God in prayer. You know, all of us have human beings, right? People that we maybe respect or admire. And, you know, and if they were to say, "Hey, I'd like to get together and talk a little bit," you know, certain people in our lives, we would say, "I would gladly do that. I would welcome the opportunity." And if it's somebody that we respect and admire, you know, we would come with a certain sense of this is an honor, this is a privilege, and we would really kind of cherish that opportunity. And someone who so far outstrips the most respect-worthy person on earth is ready to commune with us in prayer anytime. And praying really is coming into his presence. And then it isn't just coming into his presence, but it's coming into his presence when he has said, "And what you ask, I will do. You know, the petitions that you bring, I will grant them. Those burdens that you cast on me, I will show my care for you, administering to you in response to those prayers." Folks, that ought to send chills up your spine. Really ought to think that is our God. That is the promise that he has made. And he gladly welcomes us into his presence. So we need to view it that way. And then when we come, we need to ask. Now, I am a believer in, you know, sometimes in kind of people think about how should we approach prayer, and sometimes people use the little, you know, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and then bring your petitions, you know, and those are good and proper things. And I'm a believer in, you know, there's an appropriateness to praying the words of God back to Him and saying, God, You have said this. And there's patterns for that in the Scripture, seeing that, you know. But the fact is, a central part of our prayer relationship with God is simply asking, you know, and not holding back on asking. Those of us who have children, you know, it's a pleasurable thing as a parent to see a little innocent child come and just ask for your help. In fact, the older they get, the more of a pleasure it is, maybe, having them come and ask for your help. You know, it's one of those beautiful things when you have adult children and they, you know, they went through that stage when they didn't think Dad knew so much, and now they start to realize that maybe there's something worth asking here. You know, and you know, could, yeah, Dad, could I get your advice? You know, and there's, we like to be asked because it shows a measure of respect. It shows a measure of appreciation. And folks, God wants us to ask. You know, that reflects our dependence on Him. That reflects our neediness and His ability to care for us. It reflects our acknowledgement that He loves us and gave Himself for us and wants nothing but to accomplish His perfect will in our lives. He delights to have us ask, and yet so often we don't. And James hits it head on. James 4:2 says, right, you have not because you ask not. Now, there is so much that God wants to do in your life and in mine. But yet in his perfect plan, He's waiting for us to ask. And He says, you have not, because you ask not. Folks, not only is it okay that we bring our requests before the great God of the universe, it is essential. Sometimes I think we're held back by our self-reliant pride, maybe our insecurities that we think we aren't worthy. Folks, we aren't worthy, okay? Our worthiness is because of Christ. And so if you're thinking, well, you know, I don't deserve for God, you're right, you don't. None of us deserves for God to hear and answer our prayers, but God has said, you know, if you know you have eternal life, on the basis of what my Son has done for you, on the basis of your relationship with me through Him, the great high priest, you come into my presence and you ask, and I will delight to give what you ask in faith, believing in my Son's name, in keeping with my will. That's what God wants to do. And we're held back from asking because of our own problems of sin, our own lack of faith, our own sense of self-reliant confidence that, well, that's too small of a thing to ask God. You know what? God says ask. He says that, you know, if we ask in keeping with His will, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of Him. God does a lot of things even apart from our asking. But He delights to have us and share our hearts, and cast our cares, and depend upon Him, knowing that He will answer. Sometimes we presume, you know, we say, well, God already knows about that. Well, yes, He does, but He wants us to ask. And I understand we need to be careful of our motives, you know, and we have a flesh. And you know, James goes on to say, not only do we not have because we don't ask, but we ask amiss and want to consume it on our lusts, and God doesn't answer that prayer either, and I understand that. But there are so many things that we ought to be asking, and we don't ask. And so we have not because we ask not. Folks, a lack of asking reflects a lack of faith. It reflects a lack of reliance and dependence on God. We need to be people who are willing, who are eager to ask God to do both the great and the small in and through our lives and in the world about us and the lives of those that our lives intersect. John 16:23-24, Jesus says, in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Okay, they had been able to ask Him face to face. There's coming a day when He's not there immediately with them. He says, you won't ask me, but verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name, ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Sometime back, probably the first year I was here, I preached a message, and I don't remember what I called it, but in my mind, it was kind of like the theology of asking. You know, and you just go through everything that the Bible says about asking. And about bringing those petitions and those burdens before God. And there are just so many places in the Scripture where we're told to ask. Ask and believe that God will answer. Ask and believe that God will do as you've asked. Ask, ask, ask. We need to go to God and ask for those things that we believe are in keeping with His will. Ask for those things that God has burdened our hearts that are needed in our lives and in the world about us. And He says if we ask anything in accordance with His will, He hears us. We need to ask. Last observation I would make then is that we need to believe what God has promised. Our text says that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Okay? We know He does. That's what He's promised. He's promised that He'll hear us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever it is that we ask, then we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So He says, okay, you need to ask. And you need to believe what I have said to you. I'm telling you, if you ask, I'll hear. You know that. And you know that when I hear, I will grant you the petitions that you have asked for. I will do that. And the idea of verse 15 is that we know that we presently have whatever we have asked in accordance with His will. We may not actually see that answer for many years, but it's as good as done. You know, we never get up from our knees of genuine prayer and nothing is different. God responds to each and every prayer. Abraham prayed for a son, and God told him, I'm going to give you that son. But it was 25 years before Abraham held Isaac in his arms. And in that span of time, you know, Abraham went through lots of ups and downs and questions and doubts, but, you know, it was surely done. And there's much in Scripture about waiting on God. You know, so we are mistaken if we kind of think that God is promising us that if we pull the prayer lever, so to speak, all the goodies will instantly come out, right? It's not a mechanical thing. But it is a reality that when we ask in keeping with His will, it is done, it is forever settled in heaven, just like God's Word. He keeps His promises. He does what He says. We may not see the fruition. We may not see with these eyes all how God is going to answer, but we can be sure on the basis of God's promise that it's done. Sometimes, in His purpose and wisdom, God displays those answers almost immediately. But sometimes, in God's purpose and wisdom, He delays the answers to our prayers for years. Those of you here last week, you know, I mentioned about Mueller's prayer for those five unsaved friends, and how some of them were saved in a comparatively short time. Actually, it was more than 5 years, okay? Some over time. And finally, the fifth one, after 52 years of praying, Mueller went home to be with the Lord, and after that, the guy was saved. But let me tell you, God had answered that prayer when Mueller started praying it. And He kept answering as Mueller continued to pray for it. And God knew it was done already, even though Mueller hadn't seen it. But Mueller's persistence in prayer affirmed that he believed God was going to do it as well. And he kept depending on God and crying out to God and asking God to do the kinds of things that God likes to do. And to keep the things that are in keeping with God's Word. Now, there are times, I suppose, when we might pray for something and God gives us a sense of certainty to such a degree that we might almost say, you know, I don't need to pray about that anymore. It's settled. I know God has answered, and I'm just going to start thanking and praising Him for it, you know, and until we see it come to fruition. But I think for the most part, Mueller's example is the one that we follow. As believers, we just keep praying. Not in a doubting, wearing out way. But we keep praying with that confidence, you know what? God has said He'll answer. Okay, I'm going to keep asking Him for this. And I believe that God has done it. And I'm going to keep asking. You know, I'm always struck by how Daniel was reading in the book of Jeremiah, and he saw what God had promised, and so he started asking about it. Things that God says, and we should say, God, You've said this. I'm going to ask You. And I believe You're going to do what You've said, so I don't have any doubt. I don't have any question. But yet we can come into God's presence, and we can ask. And we can cast that care on Him. And we can assure Him that we believe and are depending on Him and just keep praying. Folks, we should keep praying because it makes a difference with God and He will answer. Verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Now, let me just touch on the idea of the qualification, and that's where we'll focus our attention next week. But for now, let me just say that, you know, the challenge in all of this, I suppose, comes down to the question of, okay, I understand that God's ways are beyond my ways, and I can't always fully know exactly what. So how can I pray in faith? Because in my experience, maybe it seems like God's not keeping his promise. You know, I'm asking this thing, it seems like it's not happening. Folks, again, it's a matter of we have to believe that what God has said is so. And we want to pray in keeping with his will. So, you know, we have the question, how do we know what God's will is? I mean, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. He grants our petitions. That's an absolute promise. If we ask according to his will, he absolutely hears and answers to what we have asked. But how can we be sure we're praying in accordance with God's will? Well, obviously, we understand that we don't want to pray selfishly. Obviously, we understand that we want to, you know, live our lives in such a manner that we're not being taken captive by the world's thinking and praying in a way that is utterly out of sync with the Word of God. I mean, we understand those things make sense to us. But, you know, sometimes, well, let me give you a couple of Bible examples. Let's take John the Baptist, okay? So let's say that you were one of the followers of John the Baptist and he is imprisoned by Herod, okay? What do you think you would be praying? What do you think you'd be praying? You'd say, well, release him. God, would you release him? This is a great man. Look how he has been used. Look at what Jesus said about him. I mean, this is somebody, there's so much work to be done. And you would be praying, and you would be praying that God would release him in faith and probably with an expectation that this seems to be in keeping with the will of God. And yet, God allows this crazy Herod, you know, to, in a kind of a drunken condition, make a rash promise that results in John the Baptist getting his head cut off. And you say, what do I do with that? I was praying in faith. Or how about the author of the text we're in, the Apostle John, and his brother James is taken captive. And he's held by another Herod. Don't you think John was praying for James? You know what I mean? We know that when Peter was in, they're praying for Peter. And God released Peter. Well, before that, they had been praying for James. And this is in the early days of the church. And here's a man with great gifts. And here's a man who had spent 3 years walking and learning directly from Jesus. And it seems like there would be so many ways that God would want to use him in establishing the church and in teaching and passing along those things that God had, that Christ himself had equipped him with. And they would be praying and they would say, God, deliver him so that he could go out and preach boldly. And yet, that's not what God does. And James is not released. But then God sends his angel and releases Peter miraculously, even as they're praying that he would be released. And you know, folks, that's the quandary that we get ourselves into. We say, well, how can I pray in faith then? Because how do I know if God's going to release Peter or not? How do I know if God's going to release John the Baptist or not? How do I know if James is going to be released or not? How do I know? Because we kind of have our idea of surely this must be the will of God. And folks, you know, I think that, and you might say, well, why do you even raise this issue, right? I raise the issue because it's a reality that we all face and we all understand. You know, we have things that we have prayed for that we believe in good faith are utterly God's will. They line up with the Scripture in so many ways. And yet maybe it seems as if God's not answering. And we get to doubting and say, well, do I have enough faith? Or, you know, maybe I miss it, you know, and all these things. You know what? We just need to embrace the promise and keep trusting and keep praying. Here's the thing. Anything that is in keeping with God's will, he will do it. And our prayers do matter. And he wants us to ask. And he wants us to expect. And so when we start trying to figure this out and thinking that I can get my mind around the mind of God, And I can try and determine, you know, we're on a path that's just going to undercut our prayers. We walk with God. We immerse ourselves in the Word of God. We ask God to guide us in our prayers. We ask God to direct in our lives. And as God burdens us, we just keep praying. And we say, now, God, you have said again and again and again in your word that if we ask anything in your name, you'll do it. If we ask anything in accordance with your will, we have those petitions. And really, it comes down to just trusting in the goodness of God and in the rightness of God and in the wisdom of God and in the leading of God in our lives that we are going to just, as best we know, we're going to pray that which is in keeping with the Word of God. And we're going to expect that God is going to do it. We may never see the tangible outworking of that, but I think we'd see a whole lot more if we'd be looking for it. You know, we pray our token prayers. We give up on praying. We rationalize away things when we should be just in utter desperation and dependence on God. Just keep coming back and coming into His presence and casting those cares upon Him and asking and asking and asking and asking and believing that God's going to do it. You know, you say, how do you know that you're saved? How do you know you're saved? Primarily, I mean, there's obviously, I'm going to answer that question. It could be a long and elaborate answer. But, I mean, at the bottom line, it comes down to we believe what God says in His Word. You know, we believe what He says about salvation. We believe what He says about the certainty of it. So when God says, these things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life, we say, that's what God says. I'm hanging on to that. Well, in the same way then, folks, when God says that if you ask anything in my will, I'll hear it. And if you know that I hear, I will do it. We just need to hold on to that in the exact same way and say, God has said this, so I am going to keep praying. I'm going to keep casting this care upon Him. And I am going to keep unburdening my heart as best I know, asking God to, and I'm going to hold nothing back. I'm going to come freely and boldly and willingly, realizing I'm coming into the presence of the Almighty God of the universe, and He has said that I can come and ask, so I'm going to do it. And I'm going to believe that He is who He says and that He does what He says. And even when it may not seem like it's working, I'm going to keep praying because God has promised me that as a believer, if I ask, He will answer. If we ask anything according to God's will, He hears and answers our requests. And folks, the real need is simply to believe and trust in God. I realize it's, you know, you're saying, well, where's the real answer? There's the real answer. We believe God. We take Him at His word. And so we draw close to Him and we come into His presence and we freely ask. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. John 14:13-14, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And folks, there are just passage upon passage like that, these promises, where God says, I'll answer your prayers. We know that God answers our prayers. The question is, will we believe when God says that? Will we simply take Him at His word and come to Him and ask, believing that what He says He'll do, that He's concerned for us, that if we cast our cares on Him, He'll care for us, that if we ask anything in His name, He'll do it, that if we ask anything in accordance with His will, we can know that He hears, we can know that He'll answer. That's really where it comes down to, folks, is not our ability to figure something out. Not our ability to be right enough, you know, in our lives and in our faith, you know. Certainly the Scripture enjoins us to live pure lives and all those kinds of things. But the fact is, it really always, still, we can try and remove obstacles. We can try and, you know, keep away those things that distract and that drag us away from God. But our confidence in God answering prayer is just purely a matter of trusting Him and taking Him at His word. We can know that God answers our prayers. The question for us is, are we willing to really believe? when he says that. Our Father, we